Matthew, the 8th chapter, 19th verse. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said in the 20th verse, and Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. How many has confidence in the one you're serving? I'd like to see more hands. Amen. Amen. There comes a time in our life, we know that we have to know that Jesus is walking by us. Through the good time and through the bad, there is times that we've had folks to come by and they've looked at us and said they've seen the smile of God. But then there's a lot of times that you get, like I get all the time, that I look too hard or I speak too quick or whatever. I hear it all the time. I try to improve on it, but it seems to get worse. I don't know. I just can't do anything with it. I know Abraham Lincoln one time was told he was two-faced, and he jumped up and he said, you think if I had another face, I'd wear this one. Amen. I try to be as friendly as I can, but I don't reckon I do a very good job at it. But still, you could see where this scribe came to the Lord. Seeing the miracles that have been performed and hearing these things, he wanted to be a part of it. Amen. You hear of a healing going on, what happens? The church doors open, people start feeling abused. Can you say amen? Amen. They want to be a part of it. Amen. And it gets to where they hear the Holy Ghost is falling. I've seen folks leave one church and go to another church because that's where the Spirit of the Lord is. Amen. That's all well and good. But a lot of times in the back of my mind, I thought, why don't you get on fire and get that other church on fire? Amen. Where you come from? Amen. I believe God's called us to go to different places. And once we get there, to make a difference. Can you say amen? Amen. So here comes a scribe that has no doubt left the temple. Amen. Knowing the word of the Lord, knowing the old law. And yet he sees something in Jesus. But he doesn't see anything that wants to change his life. He just wants to be a part of it. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. He wants his name in lights. He wants his name identified with Christ. Amen. He wants to show the Lord, I do know the law. And with me knowing the law and you performing miracles, we could go somewhere. Amen. Amen. But Jesus looks at him and he says, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Amen. What Jesus has said, there's more than enough real estate for the foxes to have a home. Amen. He created a fox. He created enough land mass. Come on now. That they can have a home anywhere they go. They can go to the rocks. Come on now. There's sand foxes. Amen. You can read of foxes all over the world. There's no problem of building a new hole. Can you say amen? Amen. When the Lord made the sparrow, amen, he put enough trees around here that we could actually put multitudes and multitudes of sparrows, amen, in our trees around here and have room left over. Amen. There is no shortage of room for them to have a nest. Can you say amen? But when it come to Jesus, he refused to have a place to lay his head. Amen. Amen. Friday was my wife and I was supposed to go down to the Smokies, go down Friday and come back Saturday for a member of the family that's getting married. And before we go, the first thing we want to do is find the reservations. First thing we want to do is find out about some motels. Amen. And Sister Kathy and Brother Lloyd's telling us about how the different rates, but the first thing we want to find out is where we're going to lay our head that night. Amen. Amen. And I know you probably got them too, but now we've got things in the mail. We love these credit cards. I'm up to $50,000 now. Me and my wife has a contest. Who gets the most on the credit cards they send you in the mail wanting you to take, be a part of it. And I've got one now that says, oh, I got one that said $250,000, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah, I'm way ahead. But I got one the other day was talking about vacation. You know, I buy a car, I get a vacation. If I don't buy a car, I'm still supposed to get a vacation. We got a phone call today. Somebody said they wanted to give us a Florida vacation. My daughter was excited about it because I've been excited about those things before too. Come on now. Amen. And she said, do we punch on through? And I said, no, it's just some kind of gimmick. First of all, it takes money to get there. But when you get there, you want to know that you have a place to lay your head. Come on now. And Jesus provided a place for the fox to lay its head. Jesus provided a place for the bird to lay its head. Come on now. Amen. But Jesus did not provide a place for himself to lay his head. Amen. Why? Because the Lord has a desire to dwell where? Come on now. To dwell in the hearts of men and women. Amen. To dwell with those that love him. Amen. Amen. The Lord was so thoughtful then when he made the world. Amen. Even up on the Matterhorn Mountains, you can read of a snow that there was a fly flying around. This man had to find out about it. He goes up, he gets the fly, he puts it under a microscope, and he finds out that's got hair on its legs. Gets cold up there. The flies down here don't have hair on their legs. Amen. God thought so much of that little old tiny fly that he wanted to keep his legs warm. Can you say amen with me? How much more does the Lord want to do for those that love him and that chose him and said, I want you as my Savior, and where you go, I'll go. Amen. Amen. Remember the disciples come up and ask the Lord, where dwellest thou? Amen. Amen. What a surprise when they found out some mountain, some night that he was up there talking to the Father and he wanted to dwell with them in their hearts. Come on. What about on the road of Emmaus? Amen. When they turned in, did they say, did not our hearts burn within us? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They wanted to take him to a house and they wanted to feed him and have a place to lay his head. But he dwelled within them and their hearts burned within them. Who is this Savior we're serving? Who is this Savior that we're serving? Amen. I felt like preaching to you this. Lord, give this to me last night. Amen. There's a healing that needs to be in this day. And this healing is knowing, come on now, first of all, that your Redeemer is mindful of your needs. Amen. If you cannot believe that God knows every step you take and every breath you breathe and every heartbeat that you have and every thought. If you cannot believe that, come on now. God can't help you in all these other things. The first thing you're going to have to do is have confidence that he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you and made a promise that he would draw closer to you. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody said, don't the Lord see my problems? Of course he sees your problems. Come on now. Amen. When the disciples, amen, when the John, the 17th chapter, you can find out when he was praying for them and asking God to sanctify them. He said, Lord, don't take them out of the world. Come on now. Leave them in the world. Come on. Even though they are out of the world as far as the Lord's concerned, amen, he left them in the world to show the world that there is a Savior that loves them. Amen. There's a Savior who wants to save every homosexual they are today. Amen. They're more than welcome to come here in the church as long as they stay in the pews and mind themselves. Come on now. Amen. They're welcome to come in here just like the drunk and the drug addict. Come on now. Amen. Just like the prostitute. Can you say amen with me? Amen. Somebody said, well, the Lord don't have time for these people. I want to tell you something. When Rahab, the harlot, got saved, when God came into her house, amen, and rescued a whole family. Come on now. All down through history, even in the Hebrews, it was still known as Rahab, the harlot. That's right. That's right. Amen. 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 But Jesus came. He could have come to the rich that would have left us out. He could have came to Caesar's house that would have left us out. There was a woman who wrote a story, an incident that happened. Can't think of her name. That's not unusual. I probably can't think of your name half the time. But this woman had a little child. I know the boy's a little boy. I believe his name was Eric. They went into a restaurant to eat, and while they were in there, the little child had just got to where he could talk or say a couple of words. And it was a happy little child. You know how little kids are? Went to McDonald's. They love McDonald's. They don't like the food, they like the toy, but they go to McDonald's. The little child was sitting in a high chair and it was all happy because it got toy and it could eat a little bit of french fry or whatever. All of a sudden he looks across and these people are sitting over there and he goes, hi there, hi there, hi there. Waving, hi there. It's all new. Hi there. Across on the other side of the restaurant was a man sitting there. The head looked like about a 10-day growth beard. He was a homeless man. Said he had a nose that had so many varicose veins in it that looked like the road map of New York City. The man had a jacket that was tattered. He was the kind of a man that if you saw, he was a person that you'd want to stay away from. She said he smelled real bad. Said he had a ring around the collar, looked like grease around his neck. And he was on the other side of the room when that baby started hollering, hi there. And so he starts hollering. He's been drinking a little bit, and he starts hollering back, hi there, little buddy. Hi there, little buddy. When he started doing that, the mother got embarrassed. The father got embarrassed. Some of the people sitting close to the man got up and left because he smelled so bad, and he was flopping his coat, waving. They tried to hurry and eat their meal. The mother gave the kid a cracker and tried to cram a cracker in its mouth so it'd shut up, but it just crumbled a cracker up, throwed it down, and started hollering, hi there, hi there. And after a while, the father said, since they was having a pretty good conversation, the people were looking at him, the waitress and different ones looking at him, making faces at what was going on. The father said, I'll meet you out in the parking lot. I'll go pay the bill. I don't know why he hadn't already paid it. He said, I'll go pay the bill, and I'll meet you out in the parking lot. And he went to pay the bill. She got up, started walking out. The man was in the way. She tried to ignore him, but the baby flipped over with both hands, and how babies will flip real hard, and reach for that man. Amen. The baby didn't see the man in his filth. The baby didn't even see a drunk. Come on now. What she saw, or he saw, the little baby saw, was somebody that was willing to talk to him. Amen. Pay attention. As she starts out and the baby flips over, the man looks her right in the face and says, can I hold your baby, ma'am? If it wasn't for the circumstances, she'd went right on by. But because he was standing right in front and the baby had flipped over to him, she nodded her head yes, and the baby grabbed a hold of him, hugged him, and laid his head on that old nasty jacket. And she looked at the man, and tears started coming out of his eyes. After a while, later he told the woman, while he was holding that baby, he said, whatever you do, make sure you take care of this child. And she said, I will, and he started prying the baby away from him real slow. And the tears in his eyes, she took the baby back and went on out the door. Jesus chose to be born to some of the poorest people that you and I have ever saw. The angels, with their instruments polished, spent great care of wanting to tell the world that Jesus had come to earth, and on earth there was peace. Can you say amen? They looked at all the fine castles. They looked at all the finery of the world. But Jesus told them to go down there to the shepherds that were so despised they weren't even allowed in some of the cities. Amen. This is the kind of Savior that I have. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. Do you know the Savior I'm telling you about? Do you know the Savior that went to someone that would really rejoice for him being there? Herod didn't want to see him. Come on now. Caesar didn't want anything to do with him. Pilate was too busy getting a career. Come on now. The Pharisees knew too much. The scribes, amen, had already known too much. Come on now. But he went to those that loved him. Amen. He went to those that adored him and had the heavenly host to sing. Come on now. Amen. Who does Jesus want? Amen. He wants those that will look up and say, I love you and I will serve you whether I feel it or not. Because I know when you came into my heart, there was a change made. There was a change made. And I do serve a Savior. How big is this Savior? How big is this Savior? Zechariah, I believe, 4th chapter. I was reading to my wife. You can find out Zechariah 4th chapter. It says that the nations were just dust in his balances. Amen. Amen. The nations of this world was nothing more than a speck of dust in his balances. Come on now. And yet a Savior like that came down to this life. Amen. To this earth so that I could have eternal life and I could have joy. I can have peace. Isn't that what he told the Father in that 17th chapter of John? Amen. I want what I had with you in the beginning. Come on now. And for those you gave me, I want to take it back and let them see the glory. Amen. Do you love him? Do you love him? William Booth started the Salvation Army. There was a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman that was in London. He had an opportunity to meet him. At the time, General Booth was past 80 years of age. Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and the conflicts and the victories. The American evangelist then asked the general if he would disclose his secret of success. He hesitated a second, Dr. Chapman said, and I saw tears come into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I. There's men with greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth that there was. And if there is anything of power in a Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart and all the power of my will and all the influence of my life. Amen. For that lost loved one that we love so much that is lost. Come on now. If we'll realize that there is a Savior that can save them and will save them if we would give our complete devotion to Him and give our will over to Him. Come on now. If we'll get that in our heart like William Booth did, that started a Salvation Army. Bless God, there will be revival that no devil in hell can stop. Can you say amen with me? Amen. Who would it start with? To the first person here in this house. Amen. That says, God, you've got all of me. You've got all of me. That word is just as powerful in this day as it was then. How many believes that tonight? He's looking for a place to dwell. He's looking for a place to dwell. If he had to go to the poor, bless God, he'll do it and give him joy unspeakable and full of glory. He don't discriminate. He also called the rich that was looking for him. Yes, he did. He put a star in the skies. Didn't you read about the wise men? Amen. Why did he call them from the east? It's because they were looking for someone. Amen. That could change their life. They was looking for somebody that they could add adoration. Amen. How many wants to make a difference? You're not that far. I said, you're not that far. Come on, you're not that far. There's a Savior that's my Father. I got all kinds of scriptures I could read you. But you know Him. You know Him. You're not that far from the kingdom of God. How many knows we're living holy? I know we can perfect, but we're living holy. How many knows that we can fast and pray? Amen. Amen. We're not that far from the kingdom of God. We're not that far from a revival. Amen. Well, there is a Savior. There is a Savior that wants to dwell with us. There is a Savior that desires to have our life. Amen. Let me read just a few scriptures. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, in Psalms 138:7, thou wilt revive me. How many knows we're in trouble? I told Brother Keith the other night, one of these days I might preach it. Shiny shields and rusty swords. You ever seen something that's been in battle and it's been blasted? The paint's been blasted off and the shiny metal's underneath. You ever seen a car that's got a bullet hole in it and around that bullet hole's a shiny area? Yeah. Amen. I'm afraid sometimes, like Brother Tommy was saying a while ago, we get so used to being down in the trenches. Come on now. And hold that shield over us. That we actually let our sword rust away. Can you say amen with me? Amen. Amen. We don't know how to use the word of God. We just know how to use the shield. Come on now. Amen. I'm holding my shield up. It's just as shiny as yours. Amen. But the Lord has given us His words. Come on. The Lord has given His words. Do you realize that the angels in heaven will stop playing just to hear Jesus speak? Amen. Do you realize that whenever the Lord says anything, that there's a silence, and then all these angels cry holy and holy whenever He does this? You realize that? You realize the power that He has and chose to be part of us? Why would He want to be a part of me? Amen. Amen. As they come and get a song tonight. Lamentations 3rd chapter 31st to 33, it says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men." A lot of folks do not realize the love the Lord has. Amen. Even though there's times He's had to punish, He's went far beyond that to give us joy. How many say amen? Amen. I was going to read more of Zechariah. I'm not going to do it. But in Zechariah, you could find out where the Lord was going to have a temple made. Folks were doubting that it could be built. There's folks doubting that God's going to move here. Amen. Amen. I've had folks tell me that. I didn't listen to it for a long time. I didn't want to be bothered with it. Amen. And Zechariah, they were saying the same thing. And the Lord said He had some candlesticks. Didn't He do it? How many remembers it? And what was unusual about this candlestick, more than what they usually have, is that these candlesticks had 7 pipes going to each lamp. 7 pipes of oil going to each lamp. Amen. The olive oil had to be as pure as you could possibly get it to keep it from gelling inside that golden tube. Amen. That was the priest's office work. And yet, the Lord had this one made, that there were 7 pipes going to each bowl. You know what He was showing? He was telling that you are not going to cut the anointing of God off. All these unbelievers, He wanted them to know right there, the temple was going to be built. And He said also it was going to be built by, what was it, Joshua and Zerubbabel? That was the two who was going to do it. The ones they said, it'll never happen. Come on now. Amen. Even though the devil stands up and howls and says, it'll never happen. Bless God, it will happen. Amen. It will happen. Amen. Because the Lord said it would happen. Amen. How many knows who you're serving? How many really knows who you're serving? How many knows He wants to walk with you every day? How many times during the day you've been so busy with other things that you didn't have time to think on Him? And yet He wanted to be right there with you and help you. Come on now. Best thing I know to do is get some of these tapes out of here, these homecoming tapes, whatever, youth rally, put them in there and drive the devil off the porch. Can you say amen? Amen. The Holy Ghost that was here that day at the youth camp or whatever, the Holy Ghost that was here that day is just as real when you put them tapes in there. He will honor His word no matter where it's at. You say amen? Amen. Though I walk
to the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Amen. Amen. As they sing a song, there was a boy that had chemo, was taking chemo for cancer. They was getting ready to do a procedure by putting a needle in his back. It was very painful, and this doctor that wrote this article said, while they were there, they were dreading to do it, but this boy had already lost all his hair, and he looked feeble. And the doctor told him, he said, I hate to do it, son, but this is going to be painful. And he said, no, it's not. He said, because I'm going to quote 23rd Psalm. Doctor thought it was unusual and knew that they are to grasp for any hope they can get. Told him to go ahead and do it. And a little boy started quoting the 23rd Psalm. And he said, even though when he stuck the needle in, he knew it was very painful, the boy just kept right on quoting 23rd Psalm. He never complained. He never hollered. He never done anything. When he got done, the little boy looked at the doctor and he told him about, he said, when I quote 23rd Psalm, he says, the Lord takes the pain away. And I'm able to bear it. It takes a lot of the pain away. He looked at that doctor and he said, doctor, said, when you do these things, do you quote the 23rd Psalm? And he gave him an evasive answer. And the little boy said, do you know the 23rd Psalm? Do you even know the 23rd Psalm? The doctor didn't. But he's hoping the boy wouldn't ask. But then the boy said, well, let me hear you say the 23rd Psalm. So he tried to say it and he fumbled through it. And the little boy had to help him. The doctor looked around. He knew these other colleagues had took off. Because they was afraid the little boy would ask them to quote the 23rd Psalm. He noticed they all disappeared. The little boy told him, he said, you'd be a whole lot better if you would learn to quote 23rd Psalm. Right. Amen. And that doctor wrote that down and touched him. Because that little boy knew who was beside him and who was dwelling within him. Jesus didn't need a place down here to build for him. He wanted to dwell within the hearts of everybody here. He even asked a question to David. He said, what kind of temple would you build me? What kind of tabernacle would you build me? After all, the earth is his footstool. Come on. That is why he made the foxes the nest, the holes. He made the sparrows the nest. But he made room for every individual in this world to invite him in and to comfort the hearts. Can you say amen? Let's gather around tonight. If we know who we're serving, if we know who we're serving, we're going to see miracles, that we're going to be amazed of how the Lord's moved. I know what God can do. I've already seen him. I've already seen him. Amen. I said I've already seen him. Amen. I've already seen the miracles of the Lord. Would you gather around tonight?
Touching Jesus.
Amen. Gather around tonight.
Is all
it won't hurt to bring the kids right along with you.
Matters.
Come on, let's gather around tonight.
They